Okay, we're on Nunzine. Okay, I'm Nunzine on phase. Is this where up to, right? Einstein, right? Einstein on phase, yeah. So let's take a look. Okay, so I'll pick up, I think, 1 second. Yeah, so I'll pick up 4 lines from the bottom. Okay, Einstein on phase. 4 lines from the bottom, 77B. Everybody mute themselves. Okay, let me mute everybody. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amr Pinchas Mishum Rav Huna Tzipora, Mayana Yotzei Mi Beit Kodesh Kodeshim Et Kudum El Karn Eicha Gavim. This is a... What? Well, how far is that there? Where is that? Yeah, I didn't prepare the... Oh, you're going to have to be on your own for that, okay? Okay, so the Gemara says, Amr Pinchas Mishum Rav Huna Tzipora, Mayana Yotzei Mi Beit Kodesh Kodeshim. It was a... I was thinking of beginning even like 6 lines on Ayin Sad, but there was
Did
a...
Did you see yesterday's, besides the yesterday?
Oh, okay. There was
an hour and 15 minutes.
All right. There was a spring that came from the Kodesh Kadashim. In other words, this is the vision from Yechezkel. He sees a spring coming from the Kodesh Kadashim, and the spring represents, you know, Ruchnius, you could say. So, B'chila Dome L'Karnei Chagavim. Initially, the spring is like the width of Karnei Chagavim, like the antennae on locusts, very thin. Is that the woof or the warp? The sheti. The it's anyway, it's the cross strings.
Warp.
Okay, so then it becomes like thicker, like this the warp. Then it becomes like the woof, which is the first one was the strings that go up and down. Then the second one, which is the woof, that goes right to left, that's thicker. He says, Kevin Shigil Petach Azara. But against the entranceway, the Azara Nase Kipipakatan, it's the size of the mouth of a small flask. Behind the Didan, and that's what we learned in the Mishnah, Rablez ben Yaakov Omer, Mayim Mefachin, on the top line, Ayin Ched Ben Aleph, Mayim Mefachin, it's a verb, but it means when things pour out from a path, from a flask, Atin Liot Yotim Itachat Miftan Abayit. In other words, they'll eventually come out from the entranceway of the Beis HaMikdash. From that point forward, it got bigger, stronger, till it got to the Petach Beit David, which is in Har Tzion. It becomes like a big river. That the Zavin and Zavod, the need of the Yodot, bathe in it, and cleanse themselves. In other words, the idea is this is like a river of Ruchnius. And the river of Ruchnius begins in the base of Mikdash. And gets larger and larger until it's like being able to be Metahir people. And it was even the Tmeim, it's able to be Metahir. Shenemar, Bayamahu Yemakor Niftach Beit David. On that day, this is from Zechariah, the spring will open up for Beit David and go Fei Rushalayim, inhabits Rushalayim, Lechatat Lanuda, like for cleansing and for purification. So Amr of Yosef, so Rav Yosef says, Mikan Rem is the need to speak Lesheva Tav Rabbayim. From here, there's a remez. Anita has to sit up into her neck in water. So first, we'll talk about what is the remez. The remez isn't so clear. So it's either the way from Rashi. It's not mukhrach from the pasuk, but it means just like the big stream. So he assumes that Anita will be able to sit in it. Or someone will say it says Yoshvei Yerushalayim, like when he's inhabitants, but the people sitting in Yerushalayim. So the only thing is now again with a mayan. When he says Shetzrichel is save Ad Sabah Ravayim, I don't know if he means in a Mayan or a Mikvah, but if it's in a Mayan, but either way, so the difficulty the post can bring down is that a woman, you know, isn't supposed to be like sitting down because we're afraid like folds in her body and things like that, but the Lacha does not follow Rav Yosef on that. So some say that the water could even be less than that, that she could lie flat in the water, and then someone to say no, that she has to be able to like stand up in the water. Now, I don't know, could we just talking about the Mayan? In other words, in terms of the mikveh, though, then we know it's one amma by amma by three amma. Okay, who's your questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Okay, we're on Ayin Chet 78A, around 6 lines down, Robert, okay? So the Gemara has in parentheses, Tenech Yom HaKippurim Delech Aminal, Shabbat Dikaminal Mai. So this is referring back yet to Bryce in yesterday's Gemara, that on Yom Kippur, a person could walk through water, and he doesn't have to be choshesh, that for rechitza. In other words, if my purpose is to be mekabel my father or my Rebbe. So my purpose is not to get tanug from the water. So it's not a rechisas isra. That's what we said. So the Gemara says, in parentheses, you really take it out, but if you read it, stand up, Yom Kippur, into like a minnow. So on Yom Kippur, you're not wearing a shoe. He says, Shabbat, you can minnow my. What about on Shabbos? Could you also walk through water where you're having a shoe? And the issue is going to be, we have to be concerned the shoe would come off and it'll come to carry the shoe. That's the issue. So he says, Amar Nechemya Chatane Debe Nasiya. So Nechemya, the son-in-law of the Nasi, said, Anach Hazite, the Rabbi Ami Rabasi, the Matu Ork Madamaya. I saw Rabbi Yomi Ras, they came across like a body of water on Shabbat. Yavru Derek Malbush. They crossed through it wearing all their clothes, including the shoes. So the Gemara says, Tenach Menal. Okay, so shoe we got is under water under the bridge, if I can use that expression. Okay, so shoe we got covered. Sandal might be familiar. What about a sandal? A shoe is more strongly, more tied to. What about a sandal? Is a person permitted to walk through water with the sandal? Again, the concern that you might flop off and you'll come to carry it. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Rechumi. So Rav Rechumi said, Anach Hazit the Ravina. I saw Ravina, the Abar Derech Malbush. I saw Ravina cross the water on Shabbat Derech Malbush, meaning wearing a sandal. Rav Ashi Amar, sandal l'tachila lo. Rav Ashi says, a sandal l'tachila, you shouldn't use it to walk through water with. Reish Galuta Ikla Hagronia, the Bay Rav Natan. So the Reish Galuta came to the city or the town of Hagronia, the Bay Rav Natan, the house of Rav Natan. Rafram Lekulu Rabbanana Atu Lepirka. Rafram and all the Chachamim came to the Shir. Ravina Lawata. Ravina didn't come to the Shir that was given by the Reish Galuta. So the Machar by Rafram Lepiki Ravina Midai to the Reish Galuta. So the next day, Rafram wanted to kind of like calm down any frayed issues, like in other words, that maybe the Reish Galuta might have tainus that Ravina didn't come to his shir, so he's trying to like, you know, ease up things. So he says, Amarle, so he says, like, you know, my tamalo atamar la pirka, how come you didn't come to the Reish Galuta shir? I assume he figured that Ravina would have a good explanation and the Reish Galuta would hear about it and that everything would be good. So Amar Lei, have a kindly cry. My foot was hurting me. So he said, he should have put a shoe on and then come. So Gabat Karahav, so it was on the top of the foot. So he said, why don't you put a sandal on? So Amar Lei worked at the Mayahava Ba'urcha. There was a body of water that I would have to pass through with the sandal. So he said, so you should have worn it and then you'll be fine. So Amar Lei, lo sabar lamar lahadam Rav Ashi, don't you hold from what Rav Ashi said, sandal l'chachilo, l'chachilo, you shouldn't wear a sandal and cross through a body of water on Shabbos. Okay, who's the questions, comments, thoughts, and anything we did so far? Everybody good? All right, let me see if I have anything. 1 minute. All right, let's work that. And, okay. All right, let's go further. All right, so we're around the 10th very wide line on Ayin Chet Amud Aleph. Okay, Tani Yehuda ben Grogrod. So Yehuda ben Grogrod taught the following brisa. Now we're back to the topic of Rechitza on Shabbos, you know, being allowed to bathe on Shabbos, on Yom Kippur, I meant, on Yom Kippur. So he says, Srili Sheva Gabitzin of Yom Kippurim. A person's not allowed to sit on mud on Yom Kippur. So Amud Rishu ben Levi, Vatina Mitapachad. He says, Tani Vatina, which is so wet, it's like, if you look at the Rashi on this, the first Metapacha, which is around the sixth narrow line, he says, Makiyamayim. In other words, like if the mud gives forth water, you shouldn't sit on it. So back in the Gemara, near the Dalet, Amar Bayi with Tofeach Hamanat Latiach. It has to be so wet that if you would touch it, then you would be so wet that you could wet something else. In other words, Tofeach Hamanat Latiach, I touch it, and then I touch another object. The other object is also become wet from the dampness. So that's the amount of dampness. I can't sit on something like that. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Mutarlis Tanein Bepeirot. Rav Yehuda said one is allowed to cool oneself off with peirot, I guess, you know, putting it to one's skin. He says it was fruit. Rav Yehuda ben Tarein Bekar. Rav Yehuda would cool himself off with a gourd. I guess the gourd, maybe, wherever, you know, to cool off on Yom Kippur. Then we have in the here, the Bach, he changes Rabba for Rabba, and then the next one he changes the other way around. He says, so either according to the Bach, Rabba ben Tarein Bianuka. Rabbi would cool himself with Yanuka. Yanuka is like a child, like a child's skin. He says, Rabbi, it's standing the castle. Rabbi would cool himself off with like a silver cup. In other words, the metal is cool. So you put a tumah skin. Now we have Amara Papa, but according to the Rosh, it's Amarav. So Amara Papa, Kasa the Kaspa Malay Asur. So Rapapa said, if the cup is filled with fluid, you're not allowed to cool yourself off with it. Chas or shari, but if it's not, it's permissible. So Rashi says on the eighth wide line, Shemish Bechumayim Abasaro, is concerned that the water, let's say I have the cup and I put it, I have to be concerned the water will spill. So I can't take the cup filled with water, you know, to cool off my skin. That's according to Rapapa. That's what we just said, Malayasu or Chas or shari. So he says, he says the pachra, if it's earthenware vessel, it's both prohibited whether it's empty or whether it's full. Somehow it like sweats. And so Rashi says, I don't know, like in other words, the earthenware sweats. He says, back in the Gemara, we have Rapapa, but on the side it says it should be Ravashi, Amar, Kasa the Kaspa Pastor Namiyas, where he says, this Rapapa, Ravashi says that even if it's a silver cup and there's nothing in it, you're not allowed to put it near your skin. Mishum de Mizdarev, or I didn't, in other words, Mishum de Mizdarev. Mizdarev is, yeah, it Yishbechu Amayim Alav. Now, the only thing is he said, Kasa Namiyas. Yeah, you're right. It can't be empty. Let me just see what he says. So, one second. I guess it's not full. Not filled up. So, kasa doesn't mean empty. It means not filled up. Right, let me take a look. One second. Let's see what he says here. 1 second. Yeah. Not full. Yeah. So, kasa means not full. Not full. Yeah. So, he says, right. So before, let me go back again. So let me read those few lines again with the going back three or four lines. So Amar Papa, Kasa the Kaspa Mali Asur. If you want to fill your silver cup and it's full, it's prohibited. Kasa Shari, if it's not full, it's permissible. So full, we're afraid it's going to spill. The Pachra, if it's earthenware vessels, Edibi Edi Asur, they're both prohibited. Shin the Mishcha Shachil, the liquid will seep through the sides of the cup. But Ravashi Amar, Kasa the Kaspa Kasa Nami Asur, that if it's a silver cup and it's not full, it's also prohibited. Bikum Dim Mizdari, it can slip out of one's hands. And then spill on. Okay, that's the way we're going with that. All right. So I need to look at the halacha on this. 1 second. Okay. Please. Thank you. Above is right. Yeah. Yeah. You have it? No. The second shelf on the bottom, far left. The blue. Okay, above. Yeah. Okay, thanks so much. Okay, it's okay. There's a better one. Okay, thank you so much. All right, let me just get this halacha out with the okay. Take so we'll go to Pepper Sheet Gimel Sif Tet. Let's take a look. Okay. Yeah, well, here's what the Machaber says. He says, "Asur l'tzanei b'titlach, you can't pull yourself off with mud. Imru tofeach ma'alapiach, it's so wet that like wet something that puts to wet something else. Asur l'tzanei b'titlach, you can't pull yourself with vessels that have water in it. Afurim chaserim is not filled up. Bein shalcheres bein shmatzaket, whether they're earthenware or metal. Avol amhim reinkim mutar, an empty vessel is good. L'chem peirot or b'tinok, and he says with peirot and b'tinok you could pull yourself off. Okay." Okay. He says proves we could. That's what the fabric says. Okay. Okay. I mean, it means you know to touch the fruit next to your. I don't think it means a frozen fruit. It means like just like a fruit, you know, like a regular fruit. In other words, like you know, like yeah. Oh, I can. Cold fruit, right? Cold fruit. Yeah, okay. 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 Let's see back on the Gemara. All right. So. Okay, we're around the midway through the wide lines on Ayin Chet 78A, and then midway through the very wide lines. Okay, so the Gemara says the Iri Bar Chama Lishki Zachin Rabbi Ami Rabbi Yasi Rabbi Shulamayi the Rabbanon Tichni Sari Hava. So Ziri Bar Chama was the host for Rabbi Yami, Rabbi Yasi, Yeshua ben Levi, and all the Chachamim in Kesari. So Amalei Rabbi Yosef, the raised Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, so Zira said to Rabbi Yosef, the son of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Bar Aryam, like son of a lion, in other words, his father was Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, he says, I'm going to tell you something, you know, wonderful that your father would do. He had a towel on Erev Yom Kippur. He would soak the towel in water, and then he would dry it out. It means it sounds like bring it out. Right. He says, and then the next day, which would be the day of Yom Kippur, so it was, you know, significantly dry, but not totally dry. He says, and he would wipe his face, his hand. No. Wait. We're talking about Yom Kippur, okay? Okay, we said Erev Yom Kippur. You go back two, three lines, okay? So he says that, so on Erev Yom Kippur, he had the towel was wet, he brings it out, and then on Yom Kippur, he would wipe his face, his hands, and his legs. Erev Tishba, Shurel Tabavayim, on Erev Tishba, he would also soak the towel in water. So here, he didn't wring it out. In other words, on Yom Kippur, he's worried about Schita. I don't have a situation where I'm causing the water to leave the garment, and then that would be Malacha. But on Tishba, he wasn't worried about that, but it got dried out, nevertheless, the next day. So then he would, you know, put it over his eyes. That's the question, whether this belongs in here or not. The Hagot Gra takes it out. He puts a line through it. It says, when Rabbi Bar Mari came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar, the Erev Tishvav Mavin Lomatachat, Shor Tabalayim, and Erev Tishvav, they would bring him this towel, he would soak it in water, Manicha Tachat Marashotav, and put it under his head, and then the next day he would wipe his face, his hands, his feet with it. Erev Yom Kippurim Mavin Lomatachat, and Erev Yom Kippur, they would bring him a towel, Shor Tabalayim, he would soak it in water, then he would like wring it out, make it dry. Okay, so in the version we have here in the Gemara, in both instances, on Yom Kippur, he wets, Erev Yom Kippur, he wets, then he dries it out, not totally, and then the next day there's still some moisture in it, so he puts it on his face, his hands, and his legs, and then on Tisha B'Av he would do the same thing, but there he wouldn't wring it out. Now, Amar Le Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Taklifa, Rabbi Yaakov said to Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Taklifa, if the Amritlan, you said to us just the opposite, meaning you repeated this episode, and you said that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi ringed it out on Tishbav, but not on Yom Kippur. In other words, your version was that he ringed it out on Tishbav. In other words, you were more machmir on Tishbav than Yom Kippur. And it sounds like the Gemara says here, he says, "V'otiv nashchita." And we said, how could that be the case? He's going to run into a problem with schita if that's the case. So that was then that. Now, why would it have been theoretically that he would be more machmir, even though the Gemara rejects it? Why would he have been more machmir on Tishbav than Yom Kippur? So if you look in Tosos Yishanim, in my Gemara, it's like six lines from the bottom. He says, Ibcham Ridlan, he had a sober shishlak with Tishbav in term Yom Kippurim, the Rin Ba'alma did very so from Shrikhan Chizik Yoter. So in other words, sometimes the Gemara says that things that are Drabanon need more stringency than things that are Deraisa. So sometimes, you know, things that are rabbinically prohibited have a greater stringency than things that are prohibited on a Torah level. And it was schit doesn't answer the schit issue, but the idea is, why would I be more machmir on the din of rechitza on Tishbav than on Yom Kippur? Well, the only thing is like this. You can ask a little bit both ways. So we said, according to those Rishonim that hold that it's the Raisas and the Fal, then one's the Raisa and one's not the Raisa, that's clear. But according to those Rishonim that hold it's the Rabbanan, you have to say, even though it's the Rabbanan, but like there's an Ikar in the Torah, and there was Yom Kippur or something that exists in the Torah. In other words, that's specifically not, but it's part of a big object that's like a Torah object. The only thing is, I saw in Masechta Gemara, they said that the Tishbav is not a Rabbanan. Tishbav is Midibrei Kabbalah, it's based on the Pesukim. So, let me go on.
So I understand, this is the halacha permissible?
Which?
To take a moist rag and clean the face, your eyes, feet, your hands?
You mean what he says? Yeah. So,
either.
Yeah, it sounds like. You're talking about Yom Kippur or Tishbav? According to one version, that way. So here's what the Ramah says. The Ramah says, he says, Hagabi, I saw the short map coming about Yom, a second kin the Gubim, son of Yom Kippur. Right. He says, you're not allowed to do this, the Ramah says. He says, the Chayshin Hashem Elotino gave Yafeb, you have both days Schita. That we're afraid that it won't dry out properly and will come for Schita. That's what the Ramah says. Let's see what the Mishnah Berurah says. He says, the ability of Schita, about Mutar, he says, he says, you could wipe your hands and legs on Erev Yom Kippur with this rag, but next day you put it over your eyes. I'm not afraid of Schita if you're putting it over the eyes. Let me see what he says here with 32. Just one second. He says, the bottom line is, the Ramah says not to do it. All right, let's see further. Everybody good?
Kippur not to do it.
Right.
Shabbat, it's okay.
So here's the thing. One second. Yeah, I got it. Zion. Yeah, Rechitza, so it's not so clear. So I'm even on Tisha B'Av up and down. Zion, let me see. Hold on one second. The Ramah says not to do it because we're afraid it won't be properly dried out and you'll come with the Schita. That's what the Ramah says. By Tishba, which is coming up, he says, one second. Yeah, so here the Ramah says, umutar l'shot ma'apapayim be'erev Tishba B'Av, the person that soaked like a towel or a rag in water on erev Tishba B'Av, won't see amenamayim, take it out of the water, p'imen agev it, and then it dries out. Since it's dried out, you could do it. That's the way it comes out by Tishbav. Let me just see. It has to be so dried out that it's not topeach. When you touch it, it's not so wet that I would moisten something else with my hand with it. Alav hachiyatzer, otherwise prohibited. All right. Let's see further in the Gemara.
So that's not because of Schita then on Tishbav. Because of Tanug.
So Schita is only an issue on Yom Shabbos. Kippur. Right, Yom Kippur and Yontif as well. All right.
The other is Tanuk and Rechitza on the Adayim on Tisha B'Av.
So again, on Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to do Rechitza either. It's like Yom Kippur. But there's no issue of Schita. That's the thing that's different between the two. So let's see back in the Gemara. All right. So we're around 10 lines from the bottom on Ayin Chet Amud Aleph, 78A, around 10 lines from the bottom. Okay. Amram Nashi Bar Tachlifa, Amram Barachana. Now, the Shalud Reb Lazar. Now they're going to ask Reb Lazar, and Rashi says this Reb Lazar is Reb Lazar ben Pedat. There's two Reb Lazars in Gemara. You have Reb Lazar the Tan is Reb Lazar ben Shemua, and Reb Lazar the Amor is Reb Lazar ben Pedat. So they're going to ask him two questions. The first question had nothing to do with Yom Kippur. But the second question is the Yom Kippur question. So he says, Shaluad Reb Lazar is a king Yoshev Yeshiva. If a person is a member of the Sanhedrin, Saratli Tol Rishut Mahatir Bechor Oinu Sarif. So in order to make a ruling, again, with a Bechor, so Rashi points out that after the Korban Beis HaMikdash, so if a Jew has a Bechor, so you have to give it to the Kohen, but the Kohen can't use the Bechor right now. He's got to wait till it gets a moon. Then he can check it, and then he's got something. But in the meantime, he's got a headache on his hand. He's got this Bechor. He's got to feed it and take care of it. And let's say after the Korban Beis HaMikdash. So a Jew has an animal that's a Bechor. So he's got to give it to the Kohen. But the Kohen can't do anything with it right now. He can't bring it as a korban. So it's, he's raising it around until it gets a mom. He can't put a mom in it. So he raises it until it gets a mom. So Kohenim were suspected of, you know, not being so reliable, you know, to make a ruling, because this is they have a self-interest in either putting a mom in it or saying something which is not a mom is a mom. But the other people could make a ruling. So the other people who would rule on the Bechor, they would get reshus from the Nasi. They would get permission from the Nasi. And that's like their kabo, like to exalt the Nasi, to get reshus. So he asked, he says, let's go back to the Gemara. He says, Zakin the Yoshiv Yeshiva. Let's say a person is a member of the Sanhedrin, directly told Rishut Lahat Yir Bechor. Does he also require reshus from the Nasi? I guess it's so elevated, so does he require reshus? So the Gemara says, my come abayalu. What was he, you know, what was bothering him? It says Hakim, in other words, what are the two starting? Hakim by the who? He had the Marav Ini Baravin, like Rabbi de Baravin said, the Barzai need to lehem lebe Nasiya, he lived God their bow, that this they left within a house of Nasi to exhort themselves with, directly told Rashut, to get Rashut, O Dilma, Kim Sakim Yashib Yeshiva, ain't Sarit. Or perhaps, since he's, or like he's on such an exalted level, he's already the Nasi, he doesn't have to ask for Rashut. So Amad Rabbi Tzadok ben Chalut al Raglav, Rabbi Tzadok ben Chalut stood up, but Amar, Ani Reiti Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, Shazakim Yoshib Yeshiva Haya. I saw Yosef ben Yossi ben Zimra, who was a member of the Sanhedrin, the Amad B'malam is Kino Shalzeh, and he stood up in the presence of this one's grandfather. In other words, the Reish Chaluta, who was in his time his grandfather, Benatal Rashut Latil Bechorot, and he got Rashut, he asked for Rashut to Maki Bechorot. So Amalei Rabbi Abba, Lokach HaYamasa. The Rebbe says, that's not the way it happened. This is the way it happened. Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra Kohen Aya. Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra was a Kohen. Bahak Kama Bayalei. Halach Rameir Da Amar Chashubadabar Lodan of Lomito. So we say the Halacha is like Rameir. So somebody who's suspected of something can't judge that case and can't testify in that case. So if we say that since he's a Kohen, he can't make a ruling for anybody else on Mumin because he's a Chashud Badabar. In other words, he's in the category of people who are suspected of not being so honest about the Mumin. So can he make a ruling for, let's say, another Kohen? So do we hold a lot like Rameir, a Chashud Badabar, somebody who's suspected of something, Lodano Vlomaido, he can't be a Dayan and he can't testify in a similar case. O Dilma, Halakim Rashim Gamliel, the Amar, Neman Huel Shal Kabeiro, Beno Neman Al Shalatzmo. Or perhaps the Lacha follows Rishon Leo, who says that the Kohen, he's not Neman for himself, but he's Neman to judge another person's case, who Pashat Lay, and then he determined for him the Lacha Rishon Leo. The Lacha follows Rishon Leo. Okay, that's the Halakha. There's nothing to do with Yom Kippur. That's the first question he has for Blazar. But then here's the question we're really after, the two come by Lahu. In addition to which, they, one second, I just want to see something. Yeah, right. So in addition to which, they asked the following question. Ma'u latzeit the sandal shell turn page, sha'am b'yom kippurim. On Yom Kippur, one of the five yinuyim is the ilat sandal. So, you know, in a way to cut to the chase, but all right, so we'll do it at the end. So he said, on Yom Kippur, are you allowed to walk out with a shoe that's made of sham? Sham, rashes is min gome. It's like reeds, like bull rushes. You know, can I make a, like this? What did you call it? C-O-R-K? C-O-R-K. Yeah, I don't understand why he would say that, because like here, if you look in the Rashi, it says min gome, and remember, unless
here it says rush, R-U-S-H.
Yeah, but I'm saying, it's not the way I normally think of it. In other words, like it says by Moshe Rabbeinu, they made a tefat gome. I guess he's saying that they made a cork.
Right?
What?
Oh,
in Rashi, says min gome. So, all right, anyway, so he's got the Steins that says it's cork. Okay, whatever it is, the point is it's not leather. Anyway, so the guy with the Jumpiyama Kippurim. So Amad Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani al Raglava Amar, Ani Reiti Rabbi Shubin Levi, Shetzab Sandal Shasham, Yom Kippurim. He said, it's like Maase Rav, when you see a Chacham conducting himself, that's the strongest evidence. So I saw Rabbi Shubin Levi, he went out with a sandal of Sha'am, of bulrushes, on Yom Kippur. Batanet Tzibur Bayin. Then I said to him, what would be the din on a Tanet Tzibur? So Amar Leilo Shnai, it's no different. Now here, you see in the question, in other words, if he's seen him going out with Sham on Yom Kippur, and he says, what would be the din on a Tanet Tzibur? The implication is that the Tanet Tzibur might be more Chamur, and that What? Well, that's what I just discussed before. Remember we said that. No, remember we said right, and it was that right that the Chachamim did more chizuk the brain. That and that that's what one of the mafarshim wants to say, that it was going with the whole zach here. So the Gemara says, it's no different. So Amar Rabbi Barachana, and he reiterated Reb Lazar, the Ninbe should subsanal shasham betanit zibur. I saw Reb Lazar from Ninbe when it was sandal sham, like a sandal made of bulrushes on a tanit zibur. The Amina Le Yom Kippur Mai. I said, what's Allah on Yom Kippur? So Amar Le Lo Shana. In other words, the implication of the Yom Kippur might be less stringent. So he says no different. Now the Gemara says Rabbi Yehuda Nafik. So we're saying, let's go back. So right. So we think that a sandal of sham is permissible. That's what we think. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Nafik b'dehitni. Rabbi Yehuda went out b'dehitni like a sandal of like bulrushes. Also the same thing as sham. Abai Nafik b'dehutze. Abai went out with sandals made of kapo tamarim, of the date palm branches, the palm branches, on Yom Kippur. Rava Nafik, and here there's two versions, either Bidiyavle, which Rashi says is a sabim grasses, or on the side is Gekirsarok Bidikule, which would be something like from the date palm tree. So Rabba Barabhuna Karach Sudra Akari Banafik. Rabba Barabhuna wrapped like a rag around his foot and went out on Yom Kippur. So Mati Brahmi Brahma, so anyway, from all of those, it sounds like anything that's not leather is permissible. That's the way it sounds like. We'll see in a minute. So the Gemara says, "Mati Brami Barchama, Akti Yotzei B'Kav Shlo D'Rib Meir." So this is from Mishnah Masechet Shabbat. It says the amputee on Shabbat is allowed to go out with his wooden prosthesis, according to Reb Meir. Rabbi Yossi Osir, Rabbi Yossi prohibits it. Now we think in the Hava Mina that the problem with going out is it considered to be a malbush or not? In other words, The Tanakhama we think holds, you can go, in other words, it's considered to be like his shoe. In other words, that's his shoe. And Rabbi Yossi is also, Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's not a malbush. It's a totan hota. He says, Vitani Allah, we learned the Braisa concerning that Mishnah, the Shavin, that they both agree, Shasur Latsepo Biyom Kippurim, that you can't go out with this wooden prosthesis on Yom Kippur. So the point being that we're trying to prove that it's not just leather. We think that even like a wooden shoe is prohibited on Yom Kippur. In other words, even the one who says it is a malbush, it is a shoe. So you can go out on Shabbos with it. It's not hotza'ah. But nevertheless, he holds, everybody agrees on Yom Kippur, I can't go out with it. So that would mean that a wooden shoe is prohibited on Yom Kippur. Just like leather, right? Okay.
What's on the bottom? With peg or is there a shoe?
With the kite, you mean, or what? What's like that?
It's prosthesis.
No. There's no leather shoe on the end of it. It's just like a wood.
With peg.
Well, I don't know peg, but it's like something that fits in on the leg, and then he's able to walk with. I don't know exactly how it looks. Would he say anything?
No, he doesn't say.
Okay, but if it's just
today
wood.
A prosthesis would have a
shoe. Yeah. No. It just means wood. It's something wood that helps him walk. Okay. All right. So the Gemara says, "Amar Abaye, how come the itbei ketitin mishum tanud?" So Abaye says, "No, it's not that the wooden shoe is prohibited to be worn on Yom Kippur. Over there, this wooden prosthesis had rags in it, and the rags were so comfortable that that's why it's prohibited on Yom Kippur. That's what we think." So Amar Li Rava. So Rava said, "Vilav manahu ketitin mashvi lemana." Now there's a question whether this line belongs in the Gemara. It's a lot easier if the line does not belong in the Gemara. But if you say the line does belong in the Gemara, so he's saying if it's not a mana, not a keli, meaning not a shoe, so because there are rags in it, it turns it into a keli. The Gemara is going to say that everybody agrees that this is something which is mekabel tuma, that this prosthesis could be mekabel tuma. So he's saying, so what? It only became a shoe because he's putting rags in it, and now it can be mekabel tuma. In other words, the rags are the whole thing, mala and morid. In other words, according to Abaye, the rags is the whole issue, having the rags there. So he said that's the whole thing that turns it into like a shoe to be mekabel tuma. V'od, kol tanav lav minal hu b'yom kippur miyasur. Is anything pleasurable prohibited on Yom Kippur? Like he said, it's pleasurable, so it's prohibited. Everything, so b'harabah barabhuna, Abakar Sudra Kari Banafik. Rabbi Huna, he wrapped a rag around his foot and went out on Yom Kippur. But owed me the Katani Seifa in Yeshlo Beit Tibul Ketitin Tameh. In addition to which, the Seifa of the Mishnah over there in Masech Shabbat says if it has like a receptacle for rags, it's mekabel tuma. Mechlal dereisha labedit like tita skin. So therefore, by implication, the reisha is talking about where it doesn't have this place for rags in it. Ela amaravo. So rather, Rava says the pshat is the olam de kuliyama minalhu. Everybody holds that this is not the way we understood it initially. Everybody understands that it is a shoe. He says, with Shabbat, Bahaplihi, Shabbos, they make the following. In other words, there was a machloket, whether you could walk out on Shabbos with it. So the way we understood initially, is it a shoe? Is it hotzah or not? In other words, so if it's a shoe, it's not hotzah, that's your malbush. Otherwise it is. But he says, no, that's not. Everybody agrees it's a shoe. One is afraid that it'll become loose and the person will come to carry Dalet Amos and Rishus Arabim. That would be Rabbi Yossi. And he says, Umar Savar Lo Gezrin. One says, we don't make it because they were like this. Now let's slowly roll with this. So the it's coming out though that that everybody agrees the wooden prosthesis is a shoe. Everybody agrees the wooden prosthesis is a shoe. So the way Rashi understands the sugya, it would come out that a wooden shoe would be prohibited on Yom Kippur, right? Not just a leather shoe, but a wooden shoe would also be prohibited to wear on Yom Kippur. So there's a machloket Rishonim, there's a three-way machloket Rishonim. So some Rishonim hold only leather shoes are prohibited, some hold leather and wood, and some hold anything you put on your foot is prohibited on Yom Kippur. And that's the way briskers are very machmir with that.
Put things on their feet.
Yeah, so that's
did you see anyone who did?
Yeah, so here that they did do that. So, but in some way they're mechalik it. But the briskers though, I think with socks, you know, things like that. They, but
in the shul, not outside. They walk outside with something.
Probably.
That's what they got. They did.
Yeah. All right.
When they talked about a tanit sibor,
right.
Like, yesterday was a tanit
sibur,
but you were able to wear shoes.
Yeah, I think it's talking about a tanit
sibur. That would only be Tisha B'Av.
No. For us, only Tisha B'Av. All right, I need everybody's attention. Okay, for us, only Tisha B'Av. Remember, we're going to have it in Maseches Tanis. Remember, the Bezdin goes with different taniot, and different taniot are more chamor than other taniot.
For the rain and stuff like that?
Right. Now, okay. All right, let me just do a little piece here. Okay, we're going to have it here. Now, as stated above, one of the forbidden pleasures on Yom Kippur is wearing shoes. The Gemara tells of several Amoraim who would wear non-leather footwear on Yom Kippur. You know, the Mechas Chinuch has, by the way, here like this. Let's say a person wears leather shoes on Yom Kippur, and he wears it out in the street where there's no Eruv, so the Mechas Chinuch wants to say he's chayav for Hotzah. In other words, shoes are only considered a malbush, you know, not on Yom Kippur. But on Yom Kippur, leather shoes are not considered a malbush. So Mela, now he's chayav for Hotzah, walking out with the leather shoes on Yom Kippur. All right, now anyway, so he says here like this. He says, as stated above, one of the forbidden pleasures on Yom Kippur is wearing shoes. Warren tells of several Moraim who would wear non-leather footwear on Yom Kippur, sandals made of rubber, grass, or cloth. I don't know which one was rubber. They were of the opinion that such footwear are not classified as shoes, and therefore not.
Well, could you slow down a bit,
sure,
please?
Sure. Okay. That was not the important part. We've done it in the Gemara. That's why I was going so quickly. Rami Bar Chama cites a brisa which indicates that wearing wooden shoes on Yom Kippur is forbidden. The Baal Amar rules, based on his understanding of the Gemara's conclusion, that all types of footwear are classified as shoes, whether wood, rubber, or cloth, and are forbidden on Yom Kippur. He maintains that the Gemara in conclusion rejects the lenient position of the Moraim, who permitted non-leather footwear on Yom Kippur. Indeed, the Bach testifies that several of his teachers conduct themselves stringently and would go completely barefoot on Yom Kippur. Rashi indicates that the Gemara in conclusion distinguishes between wooden shoes and other non-leather materials, whereas wooden shoes are forbidden, as indicated in the Braisa, other non-leather footwear are permitted as practiced by several Moraim. The Shulchan Aruch follows the lenient opinion of the Ramban, the Rif, and the Rush, who permit all non-leather footwear on Yom Kippur, even shoes made from wood. Their position is based on the Gemara in Yibamot, which indicates that the Chalitza shoe must be made of leather, because only leather shoes are classified as shoes with regard to Chalitza and Yom Kippur. In other words, so it's defining the shoe as the leather shoe. So he says the Ramban raises another issue regarding wearing non-leather footwear on Yom Kippur. The Gemara in Shabbos on Samach Bav indicates that any type of footwear, this is it, is not halakhically classified as shoe, is classified as a masui, a burden that may not be worn outside of the street on Shabbos. Based on this, the Ramban maintains that although it is permitted to wear all types of non-leather footwear on Yom Kippur, they may not be worn outside. Oh, this is a little different than I was saying to you. So the Ramban wants to say that I can wear non-leather footwear on Yom Kippur, but but they may not be worn outside in the street, because doing so amounts to carrying a masui in a public domain, which is forbidden on Yom Kippur because it's on Shabbos. In other words, he wants to say, like, if it doesn't have a shame of a shoe, it's a masui. The Ran, however, justifies the practice of wearing non-leather footwear outside on Yom Kippur, arguing that such footwear is classified as a burden only during the year when everyone customarily wears regular shoes. However, on Yom Kippur, when leather shoes are forbidden, non-leather shoes are considered a standard attire and are not a masui. In other words, he's assuming leather shoes are shoes, non-leather shoes are just like not a malbush. So if that's the case, so then wearing the non-leather shoes would be a problem wearing outside. But the Ran wants to say on Yom Kippur that is the shoe. The Shagas Aryeh gleans from Rashi and Eruvin that if one wears an item of attire on Shabbos which involves a prohibition, the item is deemed a masui, and the wearer must bring a chatas for transgressing the melach of hotzah carrying. Interestingly, the Minchas Chinuch, citing the Shagas Aryeh, asserts that if one wears leather shoes to spin on Yom Kippur, he's in violation of melach of hotzah, besides the Easter of Nidan Sandal. Moreover, he suggests that even according to the opinion that the Easter to wear shoes on Yom Kippur is only of rabbinic origin, one who wears them in the street is in violation of the Torah Easter of Hotzah. So even if I say that Nidan Sandal is a Dindar Rabbanan, but Dindar Rabbanan is going to define what's a Malbush and not. Okay, let me move on in the Gemara. Okay, let me finish stuff, then we'll take some questions, all right? So back in the Gemara, we're up to Tan Rabbanan around 10 lines above where it gets wide. On Ayin Chet 78b, 10 lines above where it gets white. Okay, so the Gemara says Tanurban. We learn in the Brisa, Tinokot Mutar Bekulan Chutz Minil Rasandel. That children, it means young children. Let's say you have a 9-year-old, they're allowed to do all the Inuim. We had 5 Inuim: Achilashti, Rachitz, Sicha, Nila Rasandel, Tashmish, Mita. So children are allowed, all of them, hopefully not involved in Tashmish, except for Nila Rasandel, except for wearing shoes. So Maishna Nila Rasandel. Why is it that children, in other words, they can eat, they can drink, they can do sicha, but they can't wear shoes? So the Gemara says, "Ma'ishanu lada sandal." Why can't they wear shoes? The Amri in Shiabdulei. So we think it's because people will say that adults gave them the shoes to wear. Now there's an Easter in the Torah from giving Easter to a child. So if you look at the Rashi, it's around the 15th narrow line from the top. In Shiabdulei, Gedolim Masulo. But Torah is here. Gedolim al tanim shlo yisulam biyadayim devar asur kivinim asef yivamot lo tochlum lo ta'achilum. It says like certain things don't eat things but non-kosher food, and lo ta'achilum is the way. Don't give the children the non-kosher food. Asur gedolim al tanim. So we're afraid that people will say that adults gave the shoes to wear. So the Gemara says harakami amri in shiavulei. So in other words, If they wear a shoe, people would say the adults did it. So, but the food will also say that they did it. He says, so the Gemara says, Rechitza v'sicha amri, me'mol abdilei. So if they have Rechitza v'sicha, they'll say, no, they did it yesterday. So the Gemara says, sandal nami emar me'mol abdilei, the shoe they also put on yesterday. So the Gemara says, sandal lo efshar, me'mol abdilei. So you can't put on the shoe the day before Yom Kippur and leave it on the whole Yom Kippur. If a person wants to taste the taste of death, the person should put on shoes and go to sleep with it or lie down with it. So the Gemara thinks the reason that they're not allowed to wear shoes is because people will say the adults must have put the shoes on them. But by Rechitza, Sicha, and Achila, I wouldn't think the adults did it. Maybe they did it, they had it yesterday. So do you want to say? The Gemara says v'amutarin l'chachila k'tani, but the Mishnah says, the Braisa says that they're mutarin. That sounds l'chachila, meaning if somebody would come to me say, can I feed my 9-year-old? I would say, yeah, you could feed him. So then I obviously know he's feeding him on Yom Kippur. Ella, so the Gemara revises understanding. Ella hana k'lav ribitayhu gazru b'rabanan. That neither a sandal, which doesn't relate to their growth, so the Chachamim said they can't wear shoes. He says hana ribitayhu. But the other things like rechitza, sicha, and achila and shtia that relates to their growth, I guess, and health, logazu bu rabana. The Chachamim warrant goes there, those. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. The Amar Abaye, because Abaye said, Amar liye, my mom said to me, we know the Ma is his nursemaid, his mother died when he was born. Yeah. Revite vienuka maya chaminu mishcha umishcha. That it's important, like for the development of a child, to have hot water, like bathing in hot water and anointing in oil. Gadol Porta, that's the part we needed. He says, Gadol Porta, when the child grows up a little bit more, they add tabakurcha. You should have an egg and a kutach. Remember the two things, Fern, what are the two things we need to know about kutach, Fern?
Who made it? They made it, and it was that paragi food.
Yeah, but what are the two things I said to always remember about Kutach? Right. Okay. So Odei said it. Okay. So it's chametz and it's milchik. Those are the two things to remember.
Right.
Anyway. Okay. Okay. Gadol porta. When the child grows a little bit older, tiburi mane. It's important for him to like break the vessels. I don't know. Like his growth, he gets it out of the system. He says ki had the rabba like rabba zavin hu mane disease de papra levnei. He would buy like these cracked earthenware vessels for his kids. They would break it. But the Gemara ends up saying the other inuyim are important for the growth and development of the child, but the shoes, they could be with the Easter with the shoes. All right. Okay.
But it sounds like a hardship to buy the kid another pair of shoes for the one day when he's really allowed to wear them.
Wait, say again, repeat.
It sounds like a hardship to have some sort of substitute footwear for a child for the one day when he doesn't really have an isur of wearing it.
Okay. Again, you're assuming that another shoe would be good. According to some Rishonim, no shoes. In other words, so the choice is no shoes versus shoes. But if you say it's like you could have like the cloth or the wooden shoe, yeah, that would be harmful for his growth and development. That's the way it sounds like. Okay, any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Ruth, are you good? You look like a little queried before. Are you good, Ruth? Okay. I assume if I don't hear from you, you're good. Okay. I'm going to move on to the Gemara, and then we'll wrap it up. Okay. Now we're on the first very wide line downstairs. Let me see if there's another thing that she's doing. If there's anything. Okay. All right. All right, we'll do this in a bit. Okay? And we'll do this. Okay. Let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, we said in the Mishnah, a king and a kala is a woman who just got married. They have a green light to wash their faces on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, "Manit and Mani." According to whom does our Mishnah go? Rabbi Chananya ben Tradyon. He follows the Tana. Rabbi Chananya ben Tradyon. Tani, we learned the Brisa. Hamelach v'kala lo yirchatzu pnei. The Tana Kama says a king and a kala get no special dispensation. Rabbi Chananya ben Tradyon omer mishum Reb Lezer. Rabbi Chananya says the name of the Tana Reb Lezer. Hamelach v'kala yirchatzu et pneihem, that they have a green light to wash their faces. And then continuing on, Achaya lo tinala da sandal. The Tana Kama holds a woman who just gave birth is still, subject to the din of Nila da sandal. Rabbi Chananya ben Tradyon omer mishum Reb Lezer Achaya tinala da sandal. Rabbi Tradyon says they can wear a sandal. So Rabbi Chananya ben Tradyon has three chulas, right? One is the melech and the kala and the chaya. So the melech and the kala have a heter to wash their faces, and the chaya is the one who just gave birth has a heter to wear shoes. Okay, so the Gemara says, "My tama." Let me see he says, "Yeah." So my tama, he's got in the back. He says, "Mishum dechtiv." Oh, but either way, my tama melech. What is it here? Yeah. Okay. He says, "My tama melech mishum dechtiv melech biyakyo techazenei necha." That a king like should always look beautiful. Like that's the din of a melech. So that being the din of a melech, so he, in order to look beautiful, he's got to be able to wash his face. He says, "Kalo my tama." Why is a kalo allowed to? Are you on the right line? Okay, one second. We said about rechitz and for the panav. What did he say? Wearing shoes. Where did you get that from? One second. Let me see what's. One second. And he says because Delta the same pasuk is what he says. All right, let me see. One second. What does he have here? He says, why is it Reb Lezer leaning each his case? But we didn't say anything about the king wearing shoes. All right. Okay. All right. Let me go on. We'll hold that in the brains for now. Okay, let's see back on the Gemara. Okay. He says, Melech Mishum Dasi Melech Biyakyo Techazani Necha. Kala my time, why is a kala out to wash your face? Deishlo Tikane Al Bala. She shouldn't be repulsive to her husband. All right. Now, Amar Le Rav Lurabhiya. Kala Kama, how long is a woman a Kala, like a new bride? So Amalek at the time, like we learned the Braisa, in Monin Tachshitim and a Kala Kol Shloshim Yom. We don't prevent the Kala from wearing Tachshitim, adornments, for 30 days This is talking about Rashi brings down where it's a horrible thing. Where, let's say, somebody dies on the chuppah, one of the shiva krovim. So under those circumstances, we still permit her to wear tachshitim, so for 30 days. Then hachayet nolad a sandal. So from there, we're going to extrapolate 30 days. She's called a kala. Hachayet nolad a sandal. A woman who just gave birth can wear a shoe. Mishum tzina, because of cold. The cold is harmful for her. So Amar Shmuel in Machmat Sakan Akravuta. So Shmuel says, if a person, not necessarily a chai or anybody else, if a person's worried about scorpions, biting him, so then let's look in Rashi's feelings to the bottom. In Machmat Sakan at Akra, Makum Shish Lakush Lakravim, Mutar Kol Adam Lenol. Anybody can wear a shoe if you're afraid, like a scorpion, biting you and things like that. So, all right, now let me just.
Let's say this is the religion that the Baba
with the scorpions.
Because the Ramah says, the Ramah, Kol Adam Mutar Lenol. I'm looking at
the Ramah. Yeah. So this could relate to what Michael Orr was, somebody was asking with Brisker. So they don't wear shoes on any type of footwear on Yom Kippur. So you simply wear it, you don't go on the shul. So I'm walking like in the street in New York City. Yeah. Sorry. You don't know what you got there. Glass, nails. What? Within 30 days of giving birth. Yeah, 30 days. Okay. Let's see back on the Gemara. Now, let me just do a little piece with this and then we'll call it a day. Okay. Now, we said that if you want to taste of death, you put on the shoe.
Hi, thanks for getting back to me. Hi, Mark.
You still, please wait, you got to mute yourself.
My question to you was, first of all, you did get the...
Are you speaking to me?
Okay, you did get what I said.
Fern, are you speaking to me?
So,
not Fern. Fern is...
Well, you said 8:30. You wrote back 8:30, so I told everybody 8:30.
All right, let's go. Okay, the post can record this teaching as halacha and prohibit one from going to sleep while wearing shoes. This restriction applies to adults as well as to children. An interesting application of this concept is found in the writings of Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld. He lived 100 years ago in Yerushalayim, or more really, or 100 years ago. Rabbi Sonnenfeld writes that one who was cursed with death should go to sleep while wearing shoes so that the curse should be fulfilled without actually dying. Some write that sleeping while wearing shoes can also cause a person to forget his learning. Beis Yosef cites Rebarach ben Yitzchak, one of the Balei Tosfot, who ruled that Talmidei Chachamim may not untie their shoes on Shabbos since they are knotted tightly, being that they are removed only to prepare for Shabbos. Rosh Hashi asks how Talmidei Chachamim were permitted to sleep in their shoes when it is evident from our Gemara that this practice is prohibited. One possible answer is that prohibition does not apply if a person is only napping rather than sleeping. Since those Talmidei Chachamim only nap and did not sleep during the week, the restriction does not apply. A second answer, similar to the concept expressed by Reb Sonnenfeld, said above, is based on the Gemara, which states, words of Torah will only last by those who kill themselves over it. This teaching could be understood to mean the Torah will last only by those who are so dedicated to the learning, they do not even take off their shoes when they go to sleep. All right, now let me just see this. One second. Let's try this little piece, which Michael usually doesn't like, but we'll try for 2-3 minutes, and then we'll wrap it up. Okay, on today's talk, we see that certain types of shoes are not considered like shoes at all. They can therefore be worn in both Yom Kippur as well as on other public fast days, including Tisha B'Av. What is the significance of refraining from wearing shoes on both of these days? In other words, he's saying, why is there an Easter of Nidra Santo? So Likutei Halachot is work by the Chafetz Chaim. He went through, he was a big believer in focusing on the Avoda, he felt that everybody should do it, but especially Kohanim. So he went through Shas, he took out all the sugyas that have to do with the Avoda throughout Shas, and then he wrote a Perush on it, and it's called Likutei Halachot. So he explains that shoes represent the advice that we need to find our way towards Hashem. Just as shoes protect our feet from getting damaged by the hazards of the outside world, we also need to protect our, quote, feet, unquote, our zones of spiritual vulnerability from being corrupted by negative spiritual influences. On Yom Kippur, we leave the bonds of the material behind. Negative influences are neutralized, so good counsel prevails as a matter of course. Wearing shoes for pleasure on that day would be like denying that the holiness of the day affords all of the protection that we need. So, if people get damaged, we also protect our feet. So it sounds like it's a different type of protection for the word. In other words, we got to remove away the pleasurable shoes. We also did not wear proper shoes on Tishba. This is because the structure of the base of Mikdash has rendered the conventional means of securing sound advice ineffective. The great pain of the Korban is that clarity is often denied us. Although we may have a general idea of what our spiritual goals should be, we still often lack the practical advice we need to reach them. What is the only response to the post-Korban reality mourning? The idea, it sounds like, is like shoes, like our regular shoes are like more the material world. We want to get rid of the material world and be more in contact with the spiritual. Okay, I'm going to call it a day with this. Let me end. Any questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, now, wait, before you leave, let me end the recording. Hang on. Okay, let me end the recording.